It is that most wonderful time of the day when we get Arthur Schwartz, the food mensch. So Arthur Schwartz, I can't even say it anymore. So Arthur Schwartz, the food mensch, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm a bit anxious, but other than that, I'm okay. I'm trudging along here.
Good.
I've spent a lot of time this past week looking at the and thinking about the new food pyramid introduced last week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me start by saying a few things. One, the overall message was that we should eat real food and not processed food. That's a good message. Was the food pyramid as we had it before, which put whole grains at the base, fruit and vegetables, and you were supposed to eat the least at the tip of the pyramid was red meat. Now, the new one puts red meat first because Robert F. Kennedy Jr. apparently is more or less a carnivore. As a skeptical journalist, I think there's more to it than that. I'm not sure what his links to the beef industry are. But basically, the new food pyramid emphasizes the consumption of red meat, which, of course, for 40 years, 50 years now, people have been trying to reduce the amount of red meat. Gotta say, watching food television, you would never know there was a food pyramid. You would never know there was any kind of nutritional advice out there, because the food that they concentrate on the Food Network, whichever show you talk about, is not very healthy food. Now, the other thing I saw, and this made me really think, the new food pyramid emphasizes saturated fats, where we were supposed to not be eating saturated fats. Now, saturated fats are basically the animal fats. Some of them are better than others, meaning chicken fat, schmaltz, is not nearly as bad as tallow, beef fat. Now, but beef fat, and I've noticed this, by the way, outside of the food pyramid, that tallow, all of a sudden, has become an accepted cooking fat. This took me back to 1990. I was trying to recreate this in my head. I was at a committee meeting of the International Association of Cooking Professionals, and Julia Child was in attendance at this meeting. She was a member of this committee as well. I'm trying to think where this was. It was in somebody's apartment. Anyway, Julia came late to the meeting and announced that she was late because she had to stop at McDonald's and try the French fries now that they were not using tallow anymore to fry the French fries. In 1990, McDonald's changed its fat frying from seed oils to tallow. From tallow to seed oils, meaning unsaturated or monounsaturated, polyunsaturated oils, which were in 1990 considered much healthier than tallow. Well, now we're back to, what is it now, 35 years later, we're back to tallow. Now, it is true that tallow gives you a much crisper product than seed oil when you fry. You would think it would all be the same. It's the same temperature, but it's not. And I know this not so much from ever cooking with tallow, because I haven't, but I've even mentioned this, I don't know, some short time ago, that there were some cookie recipes that I have that cannot be reproduced the way they were meant to be because they have changed the formulation of basically Crisco, of hydrogenated solid white shortening. Used to have trans fats. I don't know what they did to it, but it doesn't make as crisp a product as it used to. And tallow is that product. Now, what makes me a little skeptical / suspicious about this promotion of tallow by the Department of Health is that there's no mention of lard in the pyramid, and I always thought lard was a much better cooking fat than tallow. And I also thought that lard was more of an American cooking product than, you know, a lot of old-fashioned, by the way, those cookies would benefit from lard because it has a similar effect as hydrogenated shortening. Anyway, so there's no lard in there. There's an emphasis just on animal protein. And you were saying?
I was going to say two things. I don't know, the people that I know who grew up on farms, for example, and they're no longer in the first bloom of youth, but they had food. Their mothers or grandmothers used tallow, and they used lard, and everyone knew what lard was. Everyone. And I think, I don't think that in this new program, I didn't notice, but by the way, I'll say a story about it. I didn't notice the lack of lard, but lard is part of it, butter is part of it, tallow is part of it.
Well, there's butter in the picture, there's a tallow in the picture, and there's a little cruet of olive oil.
And there's flavor in the picture. So the side story, because I have been, long before the food pyramid came out, I found out that some of the stuff that we have been told was healthy. It reminds me of the egg, okay? And how many times the egg has gone into the egg.
Right.
I started looking into this years ago, basically. And the bottom line is that, and this test was just concluded yesterday, or Saturday morning, a couple of days ago, basically. And that is, we started using tallow instead of olive oil for potatoes, just for fun. And the person who made it, her husband came in and said, "What's that? It smells really good." And she said, "Well, I left you a couple over here because, you know, there are weight issues and health issues, and all of this needs to be taken into account," which is why I started looking into these matters. Anyway, 100%.
I bet you those were good potatoes.
Accolades for the potatoes were just.
Yes.
And this is at home. And P.S., she got the tallow at a really good butcher in Litchfield, and long short, he also told her how to make it. And I know you've got a great, you've got great resources there in where you are. I will be interested to see how this, shall we say, plays.
I saw tallow in the market already, packaged. Don't think that the food manufacturers aren't going to try to cash in on this one way or another. You're going to see a lot of new products touting that they're made with tallow instead of whatever they were making it with before. Don't think that this protein craze, we're now into a protein craze. I keep reading and hearing we should eat more protein. Well, most people eat more protein than they need to anyway. What they don't get is enough fiber. And you don't get fiber from meat or chicken or pork. You get fiber from fruit, vegetables, and whole grains.
That's what's been missing, by the way. And the process, people grab something from, I apologize, people grab something from a reputable, outfit, and don't quite read the ingredients that that could be problematic, and that are in there.
Another thing, I'm saying, sorry, but very few people actually pay attention to the nutrition labeling on packaging, and most of it's pretty good and pretty complete. I don't know what's going to happen with that, but I do worry about what's going to happen with things like school lunch, which are dictated a lot by agency the health department's guidelines, Food and Drug Administration guidelines. So these kind of things could change and maybe not change for the better.
Or
my
advice totally
to everybody as an individual is, you know, eat your fruits and vegetables. And I personally concentrate more on the fiber that I'm getting than any other nutrient. And fiber isn't even a nutrient. But if you eat a high fiber diet, you're going to have a good diet. And by the way, this is interesting. Even though the new pyramid is suggesting you can eat more fat than you thought previously, it's not true. Because as a percentage of your calories, let's say that, you know, on average, 2,000 calories a day from, you know, I wouldn't say for most people, but it's, you know, for me, it's more. For a 5'2" woman, it's less. As you get older, it's less. But anyway, let's say 2,000. So if 10% of your calories are supposed to be from fat, it's only 200 calories from fat, which only means 2 tablespoons of butter. It's not very much fat, actually. I prefer olive oil most of the time to butter. And that's, I think, a measure healthier than the saturated fat. We do know that it is saturated fat that is more the culprit in cholesterol and high cholesterol than the cholesterol itself. For instance, shrimp, very high in cholesterol, but you know you can eat them on a high cholesterol, on a low cholesterol diet because they have no fat to speak of. But if you eat a pat of butter, that's a big deal. So
there are a couple of old-fashioned doctors, let's just call them, and you know, people have got to do their own research, and they've got to speak to their doctors. But it has emerged that there is some misinformation in the whole cholesterol, you know, horror thing, and that, you know, as you know, your brain is partially made of cholesterol, and when they started focusing on lower cholesterol and good cholesterol and bad cholesterol, the cases of memory loss, Alzheimer's, because the brain is partially made, the myelin needs cholesterol to keep functioning at a level that it should.
Anyway.
So I respectfully request that anyone who hears that and says, oh, she's lost her mind, do a scooch of research, because just full disclosure, I warned Arthur at the beginning of this that I had some possibly not necessarily standard responses to the whole thing.
Well, I haven't heard one that's controversial yet. You want to say one that is?
I just did. With the cholesterol.
What was that?
You want me to do sugar and salt?
Well, no. Listen.
Okay. I'll just.
Whenever I see the no sugar, I laugh because, let's say I avoid sugar. Period. Except you know, as it comes in fruit, there's quite a bit of sugar in fruit. And I avoid the really really high sugar fruits, which basically it's tropical fruits. That includes bananas, by the way. Very high in sugar. But anyway, that's me because I'm diabetic. But, you know, a normal person doesn't have to worry about these things. But added sugar, you do. So, I don't know. I mean, Bob is nearby and he knows these things. What year did Gloria Swanson die, Bob? Oh, 1980. As late as that? 80 or 81, he says. I was at 1980. I was already at the Daily News. And I likely could have been invited to this party. I don't remember what it was even. I just remember that it was, besides whatever they were promoting, it was also Gloria Swanson's birthday. So towards the end of this event, they wheeled out a big, big birthday cake on a rolling table. And she started screaming, "You're trying to kill me. You're trying to kill me." Because she hadn't eaten sugar in 25 years. And here was this big pile of sugar. That was not how she wanted to celebrate her. I don't know what birthday that would have been. She would have been in her 80s, I guess. Bob, she would have been in her 80s in 1980. She would have been 81 and 80. So there you go. We can look it up, but we don't need to. It's close enough. But I always, whenever I say there's no sugar, I always think of that where she thought she was getting killed because they were going to give her a sugary birthday cake. The same kind of moment as the Julia Child moment when she came in to this committee meeting and gave her report on McDonald's French fries fried in seed oil as opposed to tallow. She was not, by the way, impressed. I remember this. She used some foul language. Nobody knows this, but well, not nobody. But Julia, you know, had a little bit of a potty mouth. And whatever, I don't want to repeat what she said, but it was not complimentary to McDonald's. And she had liked McDonald's fries up until then.
Right. And as a matter of fact, the that was one of the original taste discrepancies. And why on the occasions that we had the rare occasions that we got to go to McDonald's and have fries, they were yummy, and they were done in, as a kid, they were done in tallow. And
in tallow, yeah. And
years later, yummy. When it was changed,
now they're useless,
of our youngsters.
The first one you eat when they pass it on to you is okay. After that, they've cooled down enough that they're not worth eating.
Yep.
I'm not sure if there is a fast food chain that has really good fries.
No.
That are not highly processed one way or another. You know, a lot of the product that these fast food places use are potatoes that have been treated so that with whatever, I don't even know. So that they come out very crispy, or flavored with whatever.
Yeah.
I think at Popeyes they call them Cajun fries because they put some seasoning on them.
But the flavors the flavors are just that. They are flavors. They're not, you know, a little. I'm making this. You know, it's not like a little cayenne, a little thyme. It's flavored to taste like that. But I don't. I want to see people, you know, dumping. And I want to know where it came from. I want to see the spices.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. That's the thing. When you're shopping for food, you want to know where it came from. And everything is labeled these days where it came from. And after a while, you learn a particular food from a particular place is better than from another place. I'll give you an example. Is that my supermarket, my regular old supermarket, not even a fancy supermarket, always has really, really good red peppers from Mexico. Let's remember that Mexico pretty much invented the pepper.
Right.
I mean, you know, they domesticated what was a wild plant at one time. And because peppers do, in fact, mutate very, very easily, like a couple of other agricultural products, for instance, vanilla. That's how we have all these different peppers. And in different parts of the world, when the peppers were grown, they took on different qualities. Now it's hard to imagine world cuisine without peppers. But anyway, I buy very, very good peppers from Mexico at a very good price. And anyway... There's always, these days, there's no excuse for not eating a lot of fruit and vegetables because we get so much good stuff from different places. I'm over the whole locavore thing. I feel if you can get a good pepper from Mexico, why not cook it?
Yes, and I think that the notion of local, I mean, that it was a good, yeah. I'm over it too. Is all I'm going to say. But
yeah, I'm over it. I once asked this a vendor of she was from Vermont and she was selling goat cheese at the at a farmer's market, and I said to her, well, you know, it was like the middle of the winter. I said, you know, you guys are locavore. What do you eat in the middle of the winter? And she said, goat cheese. Anyway. You know what I didn't like about the pyramid is that it denigrated bread. And, you know, I still think that bread is just half of life. And if you have an active life, meaning you burn a lot of calories, you can eat bread.
Bread is the staff of life, and the thing, you know, Wonder Bread, this is one of the things that got me started, for example, was the ingredient differential in Wonder Bread when we were hearing about Wonder Bread, and Wonder Bread when it started getting processed, and it's unrecognizable. And the best way, again, everyone needs to do their own checking into these things. But there is a comparison between the product, the same product from the same manufacturer that is sold in the U.S. and is sold in the U.K. And this one happens to be, I'm going to name it, this happens to be Quaker, the oatmeal, the instant oatmeal.
Yeah.
And in the U.K., it is basically rolled oats, a dried raspberry, and that's about it. Like, what else do you need for oatmeal? And here it is an inch long, or even half an inch. The ingredients.
Yeah, and I have to say, this is why you have to read labels.
Yep.
Yeah, because I buy McCann's Irish oatmeal. It's the long cooked kind. I haven't bought. There is a quick cooking kind. I should try it sometime. But all it is oatmeal. I mean, there's nothing in the can except oats. You do have
and
to cook them for a while
make
to make it
storage, by
good
the way.
Quality,
no, I love that. If you are slightly focused on this topic. You read labels. You're absolutely right. And that is
you got to read labels.
And
as you just said, if it's a mile long list of ingredients, don't buy it. Well, I must say that was the really top message of the new pyramid, which is to say, eat real food.
And that, I think, is a directive that anyone can follow. And as to your, you know, if school lunches, if even a fraction of that, I remember when Marshall was, you know, we were trying to get him proper food. Not proper, I mean, they did the best they could, but it was not the kind of food that you would want somebody who you wanted to get better to eat, because your body needs. Back to bread is the staff of life. Eat real food, and you'll be.
Yes, but let me just say one more word about bread, and then I believe I have to get going. But bread is a problem for me, because what they call whole wheat bread, I call beige bread. I mean, it's barely whole wheat. So you have to look for bread that really has a substantial amount of whole grain in it. I don't want to bake my own bread. I'm fortunate I live in a place where I can find bread like that. And there is commercial bread that they sell in supermarkets, packaged bread that is like that. It may not be the softest bread for sandwiches. It may not be for making French toast. But as basic bread, there's a lot of good basic bread out there.
And
so that said, I'm a bread advocate. In fact, it was a period, you know, where, you know, the pendulum goes back and forth. We're now at a protein point. That we've been in a high fat point, we've been in a low fat point, a high carb point, and there was a high carb point where some diet doctor was saying bread is your friend. So I always still think about that. Bread is my friend. But don't get stuck in old advice either. You know, I have a neighbor who I adore, and she's skinny, and the doctor told her she should gain weight, but she still avoids fat. I said, you know, maybe if you put butter on your bread, it would be good for you.
Yeah.
But she's scared of butter.
People have become wrongfully terrified of stuff that will make them live longer and happy and more happily, But
more than happily is right.
I
think I have to eat spaghetti today, even though I didn't see pasta at all on that pyramid. I guess it's what you should eat very little of, because it is, in fact, highly processed carbohydrate. However, just to add my own opinion, pasta is the least objectionable of the white carbohydrates. It is good pasta is high in protein, whereas, you know, even the best rice has no protein, strictly calories. And that's my word for the day.
Well, we always think.
But eat moderate amount of pasta.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, 2 or 3 ounces, really, 3 ounces is an ample portion of pasta.
No, and you have been talking about that, and it's part of eating real food, and it's just, you know.
I generally mix it with a lot of a vegetable, one kind of vegetable or another. I have a lot of different pasta and vegetable things to do, and so you add a vegetable, you're adding fiber, you're adding some vitamins.
You're adding olive oil or butter.
And you're adding olive oil or butter, mostly olive oil in my department here.
Okay.
By the way, I watched a video the other day of somebody making, and they didn't say, this is Marcella Hazan's famous tomato sauce recipe, but I recognized it, is where you cook the tomatoes with a split onion and an excessive amount of butter. So I made this more than once, first to make it just to see what it was like, and I didn't like it because I'm accustomed to an olive oil-based tomato sauce, not a butter-based tomato sauce. And then I thought I should try it again. Maybe I was wrong the first time, but I wasn't.
No. I remember going to a friend's house who had Marcella, and I was, this is not good.
It's a lot of butter.
Was not happy. I was not happy.
I would just as soon have the pasta with only the butter.
Yeah.
And forget the tomatoes.
Exactly. If you're going to do that, have pasta and butter. Yum. And cheese. I was thinking, and I'm going to save this story for another time. So, thank you.
Well, everybody, enjoy your food. This is number one. And think about your own body, then go look at the nutritional advice of others. And with that in mind, I will say bon appetit, as Julia would say. Well, my grandfather would say, eat hearty.
And as my father would say, hey, thanks. No, seriously. Very much, we appreciate you. And this has been Arthur Schwartz, the Food Wretch on Robin Hood Radio.